from CSUN 2011. This is Michael Off, and I caught up with Marco Zahi here with the Mozilla Foundation, soon to be releasing Firefox 4.0. What can we look forward to? I understand it's quite a bit faster. We spoke before that even sites like blindcooltech.com may load as much as 6 times faster.
Yes, that is correct. We've made some amazing speed improvement, especially with large pages and with pages with dynamic updates. For example, pages like blindcooltech.com, which has like 1,370 links and 1,400 something headings and stuff, loads into the virtual buffer in under a second now, where it used to be over 6 seconds in Firefox 3.6. Yeah, we've done some amazing speed improvements there inside the accessibility module that we're maintaining, as well as all over the browser. Like, we've got a new JavaScript engine that's called Jaeger Monkey. The previous one was called Trace Monkey. This one is called Jaeger Monkey because it's improved pages like Gmail and other heavily JavaScripted pages by magnitudes. So it's really, really fast now. Obviously, the accessibility module is benefiting from that as well and delivering updates to users much more quickly than they used to in the previous Firefox versions.
And what modules are in place to help it work with various screen reading technologies?
Well, we support MSAA and iAccessible 2 on Windows, which iAccessible 2 is an extension of MSAA, covering all the stuff that MSAA doesn't provide. System Access by Saratech and some others use that very heavily to get the most out of web pages for their users.
Yeah, and NVDA, right?
NVDA, so, the open source screen reader, is probably our most heavy consumer of iAccessible 2 because they're also helping develop the standard forward and stuff like that. So we're working very closely with them. We're also supporting ATK/ATSPI on Linux to make sure that our Linux user base who are blind and using the GNOME desktop can use Firefox and it's accessible there. So that's the two platforms we currently support accessibility on. We've been doing that for a couple of years, but we've recently improved all of it dramatically in both accuracy and performance. So you know, there are a lot of those tiny little bugs with update problems and stuff in 3.6 that you should see fixed now in version 4.
Okay, so let's talk about the roadmap. I saw a report saying you're going to come out with versions 4, 5, 6, and 7, hopefully by the end of 2011. But even if not that, that's a pretty ambitious roadmap to at least the next 4 versions. I'm curious, what do you have on the roadmap? What might we see in upcoming versions 5, 6, and 7 down the road?
We're continuing to improve stuff. There are still a couple of areas we wanted to touch in Firefox 4, but we didn't get around to it. And we're constantly improving our support for new emerging technologies like HTML5 elements. So we're hoping to be able to deliver these features in much more rapid succession than we used to with these faster release cycles. They'll probably be smaller in feature sets per release, but the advantage is that we can deliver both bug fixes and new feature releases for accessibility much quicker than we used to. For example, Firefox 3.6 was released in January of 2010, and Firefox 4 is coming out in March 2011, which is 14 months. So we're hoping that with this new release cycle management, we're going to deliver new features to users much faster and give them much quicker access to new and emerging technologies on the web, on the open web, in the next year.
Let's back up to HTML5, because that's very important. First of all, that is supported in Firefox 4, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and that's important for folks, many still using Windows XP, you know, Internet Explorer 9's come out, but that's not usable in that operating system. So folks who want to take advantage of HTML5, explain why they really should upgrade and maybe really think about using Firefox 4 perhaps as their primary web browser, because a lot of multimedia content will be distributed in HTML5. So talk about the benefits of that platform.
Yes, Firefox 4 is completely compatible with Windows XP, and we're not seeing any indications that we are going to discontinue that. So if you need to use Open Video or new HTML5 form features like, you know, validations and email and stuff like other fields that are specifically with HTML5, use Firefox 4 on Windows XP and you got them all.
Very good. Now, you also oversee the Thunderbird email client. What's going on with that technology?
Thunderbird is currently on version 3.1, which is based on the same core as Firefox 3.6. And they're in alphas of Thunderbird 3.3, which will be based on what Firefox 2.0 is based on. So, yeah, developments are continuing there as well.
That's kind of what the mainstream knows. But kind of go behind the scenes. What else does the Mozilla Foundation do? What are you working on?
We're closely looking at what we can do for mobile devices, because that's an important market also for the blind and low vision users and other people with special needs. The problem is the mobile market has much less of a good track record for accessibility APIs. Or if they do, like, for example, Apple have very good accessibility APIs, but they don't allow a full browser to be delivered to the App Store. So what we're looking at is options, and we are still in the research phase for that, to make Firefox for Android, which is also very close to being released, accessible in the future. And we're thinking and looking about on different angles of that aspect, because we don't want to go the self-voicing route that others have been going for Android because of the limited accessibility APIs, but we want to make sure that our blind and low vision users get the same experience that our sighted folks get with the same browser and not a specially tailored version or downstream version or whatever of Firefox for Android.
Okay, you mentioned voice input and output earlier before we started recording, so I'm curious, as far as voice input, are you talking about actual speech recognition? Is that just a better interface with the operating system itself, or building something into the browser itself to accept that?
Yes, well, we improved the way Firefox is interacting with the built-in speech recognition in Windows 7, for example, and we're also providing the hooks for folks like Nuance, who developed the Dragon Naturally Speaking suite of voice recognition software, to interface with Firefox and make sure that they can provide all their services with Firefox. And we've worked with them to make sure that they have everything they need to give their users a good experience as well. So we're not solely focused on blind, low vision users, but we're working with vendors from all different kinds of assistive technology fields to make sure that they can give their users a good Firefox experience.
There's been some talk about making browsers either self-voicing, so you can load a DAISY book and actually have it read in the browser, or there's been some talk of even described video content where you would actually watch the movie, or even on YouTube they have some beta technology called SRT, the acronym escapes me right now, but so that you could actually include some descriptive content to actually say what's going on as different scenes and things happen. Are you doing anything on those fronts?
Yes, we're working with the standards groups to make sure that these are all accessible. And our aim is to not require any self-voicing stuff inside the browser, but use what is there, like our YARIA live regions, for example, to speak descriptions for videos and stuff. So we're working with the different people who are developing the standards and who are test casing stuff to make sure that we can deliver stuff to our user base without requiring any self-voicing approaches, any niche approaches to solving the problems. And that's one of the advantages of the open web, because we are working with these standards bodies in the open. The test cases are all out there for users to try. We are also gathering feedback from the community and always welcome feedback on different issues to see how we can make things better for different like screen reader users when they run into described video content and stuff like that. So, yeah, we are working very closely with you know video standards bodies to make sure that all the stuff is accessible for everybody. It's not just like for blind and low vision people, but also a standard for subtitling, like universal subtitling for people with hearing impairments and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're very much focused all over Mozilla to make sure that everybody can participate in the open web.
Of course, the benefit is you have plugins, so people can write plugins. I assume you have some kind of SDK that developers can look at and plugins to add functionality that's not there, not just everyone would want or need, but say blind or hearing impaired people can add these plugins to do things that's not natively built into it, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. We have a very good infrastructure of add-ons like plugins and extensions, and also a new technology called Jetpacks, which are smaller and more lightweight extensions. And everything one needs to know about developing those plugins is available on developer.mozilla.org. And the add-ons can all be found on add-ons.mozilla.org.
Well, there you go, folks, mozilla.org or developer.mozilla.org or addons.mozilla.org. You can pursue it further. Thank you, Marco, for taking a few minutes. Broadcasting from CSUN 2011, this is Michael Law for Serotalk.